Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you I do not know, my name is Mike. It's an honor to welcome you here to North Star for week three of our Secrets of the Kingdom series. So I want you to go ahead and get ahead. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John. John chapter 13 is where we're going to camp out this morning. If you have the app, by far and away, the easiest way to follow along is in the app, North Star Church Georgia in the app store, and it'll have everything right there for you. We found Jesus on the last week of his life riding in on the back of a colt, back of a donkey, and that sort of set the whole week off. Jesus knew at the end of that week that there would be a cross before there would be a crown. He knew that. Everything that transpired that week, he was aware of, but the disciples weren't. They're living out life. In fact, there's a story where they're walking along and they're all debating about who's going to be greatest in his kingdom, who's going to be the best, who's going to be the one that has the highest position. And Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, guys, don't you know that in my kingdom and the way it is, the first will be last and the last will be first. And they didn't understand it. Now the scene that we capture today is Jesus is entering into the final hours. And the story that we're about to read has massive implications for the 12 that were in the room that night and for you and me. So right there in your outline, your first little blank is this. I want you to get this. Selfish ambition is how you become great in Jesus' kingdom. That's what the disciples thought, that if I work my way up and I earn the right prestige or I earn the right title, it worked then like it works now, even more than now. If I can get to the right status, I'll have made it. But the secret was this: serving is the path to greatness. Serving is the path to greatness. And I want everybody to look at me, and nothing has changed. You want to make a difference in this life? Learn to serve. Would you stand with me today in honor of reading God's word together? John chapter 13. So that night, we know that Jesus sent his disciples ahead to the upper room. He sent them to get the Passover meal prepared. So we know he knows what's coming. They arrive at the room that night and something's very different. Nobody was there at the door to wash their feet on the way in. You never ate with dirty feet. And as Craig Groeschel said, great pastor at Life Church, in that room that night were some dirty feet and some proud hearts. Verse 1, John chapter 13. Before the Passover celebration, this is a big, big statement. Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. Jesus is not surprised by this. He knew that the work he had been sent to do for these 33 years, the time is expiring, the work is done, and he's at completion time. And it's about time for him to go back to his Father. And look at what it says next. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Time out real quick. Without a doubt, Jesus loved his disciples. And without a doubt, the disciples drove him nuts at times, all right? And so how many of y'all have children? Raise your hand. How many of y'all, your children have driven you nuts at some point, all right? And so extend this. Jesus loved his disciples, but then John records something really interesting. But he loved them even to the very end, meaning the fullest extent. It was gonna take every bit of love he had and more to cover what was coming in the next few hours. Verse two. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Time out real quick. Before dinner was over, Judas had already decided he was going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Yes or no? Yes or no? Is that right? Okay. He knew. Judas has already made his choice. Did Jesus know the choice Judas had made? Yes or no? Yes. Big part of the story. Verse 3. Jesus knew the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he would come, that he had come from God, and he would return to God. All right, time out. I want you guys to get the moment, because you got to get this moment for this story to settle in on you. At this point, Jesus could have done whatever he wanted. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. Jesus could have shut the party down. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus could have said, hey, there's another way. Jesus could have chosen to do whatever he wanted to do, having all authority on him. He knew that he was returning to God. He knew that he was from God. He knew in this one snapshot moment, Jesus gets everything. He's been with his Father since the beginning of time. And today he knows what's on his horizon. Having full authority, he got up from the table. He took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Would you pray with me? Father, I don't think anybody in that room forgot that night. The way John wrote about it, you could see all these years later when he's writing down his memories, he still recollects the story in sequence because he never got over it. Father, may we never get over what we've read either. And Father, may we feel the power of what happened that night. So God, we give it over to you, and we thank you for this time, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, before you're seated, turn around and find two or three people around you. Welcome them to North Star. Would you do that for me? All right, let's set a couple things. Number one, people washing feet was a normal occurrence back then. If you invited, like tonight, I've got small group, coaches couple small group at my house. When those people would arrive back in that time, there would be a servant that would be at my house and they would wash their feet before they would walk in, right? Because they walked around in sandals and there were donkeys and horses and stuff walking on the road. So you stepped in things that I don't have to describe to you, and you walked and it was all over your feet, right? There weren't any little plastic bags back then saying, please clean up after your donkey, all right? And so those things didn't exist, and so that was all over people's feet. So before you would eat, you would never be unclean when you would eat. So there would be a servant that would meet you there and they would wash your feet. That was normal. That was not an abnormal occurrence. That happened all the time. But here was what was abnormal. It was never a Jewish man and never the master of the house or the master of ceremonies or the person in charge. These guys, you know, the whole time they're sitting there reclining. And so when you would recline back then, you would sit around this table that was around the floor and your feet would be up behind you. And you know, Simon Peter had some stanky feet. All right. And so, you know, the guys are sitting there going, I wonder why we didn't wash feet today. So when Jesus talks about washing feet, it wasn't something they didn't understand. Everybody there understood what was going on, and they understood the power of the moment of what was going on because it was normal back then. So what is about to happen is Jesus' final teaching to his disciples about the heart of what this whole story is really all about. Principle number one, ready? Serve others even when they don't deserve it. Yes or no question. Did the disciples deserve for the perfect Son of God to wash their feet and clean them? Did they deserve that? Yes or no? No. They did nothing to deserve that. In fact, they were going to do everything in the next few hours not to deserve it. Look at what it says. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the fullest extent. He loved them to the very end. They tapped it all. Love people even when they don't deserve it. All right, everybody look at me real quick. There are times in life we are called to serve, and the person or people we serve will not appreciate your service. There are times in life we are called to do something for someone that may not have any ability to do anything back for us. That never gives you the right not to serve them. For all of you that are married in this room, there's going to be points in your marriage that you are serving your spouse and doing something for your spouse, and they will not say thank you, and they will not appreciate it, and you're going to go, well, I'm not going to serve anymore because they don't appreciate it, and I'm going to go to my side, and they're going to go to their side, and that's how you end up in my office in counseling, all right? And so that's what happens. And so you, because we serve even when they don't deserve it. A few months ago, we got a call from a group, and they were asking if we had a thing here. We weren't a big piece of stuff here we've used through the years. We're not using anymore, and they were wondering if they could get it. And I was sitting in my office when I got the call, and I said to Stephanie on our staff, I said, well, I mean, I just feel weird giving that to them. The last time we did something for them, they didn't even say thank you. And she said, well, isn't one of our core values no strings attached? And I'm like, you need to be quiet, all right? And so that's it's not a time to pick. I said, I don't need the Holy Spirit speaking right now, all right? It's not what we need. And we ended up giving it to them. But that's what we do. I'm going to give it even when they don't deserve it. The disciples were not deserving of what Jesus did for them, but yet he still did it. Number two, serve others even when I feel more important. Jesus knew that the Father would give him authority over everything, and he had come from God and he would return to God. All right, everybody look at me real quick. Jesus was more important than they were. Can we all agree on that? He was the guy. In modern day terms, he was the goat. He was the dude. He was the guy. And he served them knowing he was more important. I don't know what happens to our brains, but I think somehow in our brains we reach a point where we go, well, I don't have to do that anymore. I've paid my dues. I've done my time. I've served, like there's a quota. I've served enough hours. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm not called to do that. Can I tell you guys something? If Jesus, the Son of God, who was perfect and sinless, took off his outer garment and got down and served, I think we've all lost our right not to. Today is my parents' anniversary. Of course, they're in heaven celebrating that now. But my mom's phrase, so she used to use an old Greek phrase. Unless you've been in a lot of education, you may not understand it. She would say something along the lines of, don't get too big for your britches, all right? And so that was her phrase, don't get too big for your britches. That's easy to do, isn't it? Well, I don't have to do that anymore. And do you ever feel that welling up in you? Do any of y'all ever feel like, well, why? I don't have to do that anymore. Why is somebody in my parking spot? Why is somebody, I shouldn't be waiting on them. They should be waiting on me. See, Jesus knew what the disciples' struggle was. He knew their struggle was, I get power by position. And he says, let me tell you the position. The position is washing feet. That's how you get power. I don't know who's breaking in our building right now, but anyways, I'm very alarmed. Very alarmed. For all of you in True North, we may have a break-in and it's coming from upstairs. All right, I don't know what to do with that. Here we go. Serve others even when I feel more important. Number three, serve others even if my hands get dirty. Serve others even if my hands get dirty. Jesus poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Can you imagine? Those guys have been walking on the trip in. Jesus takes off his outer garment and he takes the water. They're all used to this. They're not used to Jesus doing it. And he begins to wash their feet. Every crack, every crevice, he saw it. And he cleaned them. He got his hands dirty. He saw their dirt and he got it on him. He smelled their feet. He got it on him. Serve even if our hands get dirty. There's something about dirty hands and a clean heart that come together, don't they? It's interesting, a basin of water is mentioned twice in the final days of Jesus. One, he's washing the disciples' feet, and the other, Pilate, is washing his hands of making a decision about who Jesus is. Serve even if I get my hands dirty. There's something about dirty hands that warm hearts around us. Number four, serve others because that's what Jesus would do. This is a powerful statement. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. You know, those guys are looking around going, I ain't washing his feet. I'm not doing that, all right? And so, because they knew each other. What was the point Jesus was telling them? If it's not beneath me, it's sure not beneath you. Now, today, we don't wash feet. People are coming over to my house tonight. I'm not going to stand at the door and wash their feet because we would empty that crowd very quickly, all right? And so that's not going to happen. What's the point of it for us? You and I are not above serving others. That's the point of it. Does that make sense? Ann and I have been married 32 years. Well, I'm not above serving her now like I served her the first year of marriage. We're called to serve. So, Mike, what do we do with this? Oh, I've got a couple things. Number one, Easter, just around the corner. All these little invites are over on the kiosk that you can get on the way in. First thing you can do, if you're a regular here at North Star, first thing you can do to serve somebody else, come on Saturday night to Easter weekend, 4 and 5:30. Open up a seat on Sunday morning. There will be thousands of people here Easter weekend. I always count more than everybody else, but I'm told there's a lot of people here Easter weekend. A lot of people here Easter weekend. Give up your seat on Sunday morning. So people that don't normally go to church, they may only come Christmas, they may only come Easter, or they may be the young couple that I met last week who said it's our second week at North Star. And I said, oh, that's awesome. And they said, well, it's our second week we've ever been in church in our lives. Do you have one of those books, those Bibles that we could have? You're opening up your seat for people like that that don't know Jesus yet. That's number one. Number two, help us. You may come to North Star every week and you sit, which is awesome. Easter weekend, would you come on Saturday night and then serve with us on Sunday morning? So there's a QR code here. If you take your phone, you can screenshot that and it takes you right to the link. Help us in hospitality. There's two areas. Hospitality, greeting people in the parking lot, welcome them in. Because FYI, all right, time out. Everybody look at me real quick. People make their decision on how church is going to be before they ever get in this room. How was the experience walking in? Were the people there to greet me? Was there somebody there holding a door? This is a one-time only volunteering opportunity. It does not, you are not on a recurring auto draft of your account. All right, and so we're not gonna, it's not like the gym you can't get out of, all right? And so, at least not yet. But anyway, but do the QR code, hospitality and children's. You imagine that little couple who had a child showing up and them saying, well, everybody here because it's spring break week. Which means if you live in Georgia, you have to go south, all right? And so there's a lot of volunteers that are gone that weekend, and we need people. So if you sign up for children's, you'll be background checked. If you're like, ooh, there's some stuff I don't want people to know in my background, sign up for hospitality, all right? So I don't want to embarrass anybody. So just a little heads up, fine prep. We are praying for 100 people that do not normally serve to serve Easter weekend. And from what I hear, we are well on the way. We need you. Why? Because serving changes everything. Every team gets better when people serve. Every family gets better when people serve. Every organization gets better when somebody serves. How fun is it to be with people who want to be better than you all the time? And how nice is it to be with people who serve you all the time? You know, those disciples never got over that day. Number five, serve others because God's watching. Serve others because God's watching. I have taught this. I mean, I've been doing this for 32 years in ministry. I've taught this many, many, many times. I've skipped over this verse 1,000 times. But the power of the story is in verse 17. Jesus looks at his disciples and he said, now that you know these things, God will bless you for what? What's it say next? Knowing it and doing it are two different things. Right now, we have 36 of our college students and leaders that are in Miami and Denver serving refugees and homeless population and church planters. And here's what I'm going to tell you the stories they're going to come back with. I went there to bless other people, but boy, did I leave blessed. What did Jesus say? God will bless you for doing them. I went to the Dominican back in November to teach baseball. And we may have taught a little baseball, but I came back with a lot of blessing. From kids that didn't have anything to bless me with, but just a smile and glad to be on a field. Years ago, I went to an event in downtown Atlanta put together by one of the gentlemen that attends North Star, Scott Peterson, and Positive Athlete, phenomenal organization that honors high school positive athletes. And I was doing a little thing with them that night. But the keynote speaker was the basketball coach at Georgia State University, Ron Hunter. Coach Hunter and them had just had a major run the year before. They went really deep in the college basketball in the Sweet Six, in March Madness. And I think they made Sweet 16, if I remember correctly. But a phenomenal year. I mean, They were the Cinderella story that year. His son hit a three-pointer at the buzzer. He had broken his ankle and he fell out of his chair. It was a big ESPN news and the best basketball Georgia State's ever played. So Ron Hunter's speaking at the event, and in my brain, that's what he's going to talk about. And he gets up and he says, if you go back and you talk to my boys about the run we made, none of them are going to tell you about being the team, the Cinderella story of ESPN. None of them are going to tell you that. Here's what they're going to tell you. The highlight of the year was the trip we took in the offseason. Because in the offseason, all the boys were responsible for getting shoes for kids. And these boys collected shoes, hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes that they got and then other people donated them, boosters donated. And they're getting ready to go to Africa in the off season. And so the boys were talking about games and loading up for exhibitions. And Coach Hunter goes, we're not playing any basketball, boys. We're carrying shoes. And I'll never forget sitting in the audience at the College Football Hall of Fame. As Ron Hunter unpacked the story, he said, our plane lands, Vans pick us up. The boys have never seen anything like what they're seeing as they drove hours out into the poorest, poorest villages of Africa. And he said, we pulled up and there's 14 chairs or whatever it was for the amount of players he had, 14, 18 chairs. Sat there and the boys get off. He said, all right, boys, grab the shoes. And he said, you look down this old dusty road and as far as your eyes could see, there were kids waiting for them to show up. And I could see it because it used to happen that way in Haiti when we do medical trips. He said, they grabbed the shoes. And the boys thought they were going to go down the line and just pass out the shoes. He said, fellas, here's what you're going to do. I want you to take a basin of water and I want you to get in front of every one of those chairs. The boys are going to sit in the chairs and you're going to wash their feet and you're going to give them the first pair of shoes they've ever owned. So he said, you watch these 6'9", 6'8", college basketball players down on their knees washing filthy, dirty feet that may not have been cleaned in months and putting on a brand new pair of shoes. And Ron Hunter said those boys, those little boys and girls left with clean feet and new shoes, but my boys left with full hearts. Why? Because when we serve, we change others' lives and we change ours too. Would y'all pray with me? Father, my prayer for this body called North Star. We may not always be the brightest church or the sharpest church or the church with the highest Bible IQ. But God, I pray that this place stays a place that loves and serves like Jesus. Because people never get over it. It smells different. It looks different. It feels different. Father, for those that are in this room today that know you, God, may every day we get out of bed and figure out a new way to serve somebody that can't do anything back for us. Father, what would change about our families if dad served that way? And kids served that way? You would have a home that would be a great place to come home to. What would happen if teammates served each other, loved each other? If corporations wasn't about the title, it was about the ability to serve somebody new. God, I'm praying for the people that are, these people are going to invite Easter weekend that don't know you. God, may they find you by the serving of someone else. Father, it may be some people that walked in here today that said, I never knew the extent of his love for me. He loved you so much, it cost him the cross. And you were worth it. Mike, how do I meet him? It really is just crying out and saying, Jesus, I need you. I believe you live for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again just for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my personal Lord and Savior today. If you prayed that prayer with me today, that little card your host told you about at the beginning of the service, you can just pull it out and write on there your name and your email and your cell and check the box that I accepted Jesus. If you're online today, you could let your chat host know. Father, may we never get over what you did. And Father, may we never think we're above what you did. It's in your name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.